Coming up on Patriots This Week.
They count now.
The journey begins in the heat of summer. The goal? To be clutching metal in the middle of winter.
Trying to make a diving catch, and he did! Touchdown, Patriots!
A Patriots youth movement has begun.
It's kind of a childhood dream come true.
The first person I talked to was my mother.
The dream that I've always had.
But the star power will keep their eyes on the prize.
The NFL. If you don't bring it every single night, every week, you get your butt kicked.
The coach, he's already in mid-season form.
Right now, we're just really trying to get into Buffalo, focus on them.
It's game on. Football is back, and so is Patriots This Week.
It's been 7 long months since the last football campaign, and it did not end with a win in the Superdome, meaning a Super Bowl win. It ended with a loss at Gillette Stadium, the AFC Championship game. Well, let the season begin, let the games begin. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the premiere of Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, and each week we're going to take an in-depth, critical look at this football team that's called the New England Patriots. And joining me like they did last year, and even the year before that, former Patriot tight end Jermaine Wiggins, who got a ring on the first Super Bowl win. It was 2001, right, Wiggy?
That's correct.
And you lost in a rap battle that we had at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I don't know.
Throw that in there. Matt Chatham, who holds 3 rings and wears the red pants. He didn't get the red polo memo, but red pants. 3 rings with this club. You guys have been in the locker room with Bill Belichick. You've been on Bill Belichick coach teams. Preseason, we don't make a lot of wins and losses. We look at the battles, I think, with him. What did you make of the preseason, Wiggy, and how things transpired here?
I wanted to see timing, rhythm, chemistry between Brady and some of these newer wide receivers. And the one thing I was really impressed with in the preseason that I saw them do was against Tampa Bay. They went no huddle. And to me, that just shows me, hey, that these guys are picking up on the offense a little bit. I think that's the one thing that we've always been critical on about new receivers coming into this offense is can they pick it up? And when you're able to go no huddle, up tempo, and guys were able to pick it up and not miss a beat, not make mental errors, it's kind of a positive.
I mean, lightning seemed to strike at several positions, and I mean, you can't count on that. I think Zach Sudfeld's a guy that none of us were talking about before this camp begun, and he's really slotted in. And if you didn't have a program in front of you, you wouldn't know he was undrafted. You wouldn't know he wasn't highly skilled, because he is. We really haven't seen him make an error throughout the camp other than the fumble in Detroit. So guys like him, guys like Kembrell Tompkins, not so much just picking up the offense, but being generally dependable. That's the thing you don't expect from rookies. So it was interesting to watch so many different guys at so many different positions come along.
Seems every time we talk about this team and the good parts of it, it really starts with the quarterback. And here's a quarterback in Tom Brady, just turned 36 in August. He's entering his 14th year. He's lost his top 5 receiving targets from last year. I don't know what it is, but he seems re-energized, rejuvenated. He seems hungry again. It seems like you go back to 05, 06, and after you guys won those Super Bowls, he's pushing to get back. And now it seems like he's doing it all over again in his 14th year. What do you make of Brady?
He's so competitive, and he always wants to push himself to the limit. He always wants to be the best quarterback out there on the football field. And I think that's a credit to him. And when you look at what makes him so hungry, it's his competitive nature, his competitive edge to say, you know what, even though I'm one of the best, I still have room for improvement. I think that's why you see him able to take that next step and say, maybe I don't have my weapons from last year, but I'm going to make sure these guys are ready to go, because he puts that emphasis on you the same way he does himself. And I think you as a player know that going in. He expects greatness out of you like he does himself.
Tom put an interesting spin on it in our conversations in the preseason game. And I wouldn't have thought to think of it this way if he hadn't put it out there. We talk a lot about what he's lost. Mm-hmm. And his perspective was kind of cool that, you know what, if this works, I've got these same guys together on relatively low contracts, all brought in young at the same time, for maybe the next 3 or 4 years. It's just a different way to look at it. But it's a cool little perspective that rather than be, you know, too consternated about what it's going to be now, think of how good we'll be together for this next stretch.
Eventually, Rob Gronkowski is going to be back. And when he's back, the production will be there. I don't think there's going to be a drop-off. But really, even the running backs, you know, they rebuilt that position several years ago. What do you look at when you see the running backs?
Well, I like the strength of the group. LeGarrette Blunt is this new addition that's a big bruising back.
He's built like Wiggy.
A little bit.
That's also very good.
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
We also learned that he has light feet, and I don't think anyone in the scouting reports really gave him credit for the kind of player we saw in preseason. Brandon Bolden is the versatile guy that we just don't know where he's going to fit week to week. He may blow up, and then he might not be there the next. And Shane Vereen, we always have to remember, Shane was brought in here as an actual higher draft pick than Steven. So you really have two complementary pieces there where I'd hate to put 1,200 on one and 300 on the other. I think the strength of this unit is just how deep it is.
What do you make of this defense when you look at them? And I thought, you look at that Detroit game in the preseason, not making a lot out of preseason football, but four turnovers on the first five drives. The defense showed the ability against a talented offense. Now, they didn't have Megatron, but we're going to hold them to field goals. We're going to actually move that line of scrimmage backwards. Can this defense help Tom Brady and this offense out and get back to the way it was in 01, 03, and 04?
The thing about this defense that I'm going to be looking at is, can they get consistent pass pressure after quarterbacks? To me, that's the biggest thing, and that's where it all starts. If you can get pressure on that quarterback, move him off the spot, now it's going to make everybody's job in the back end that much easier. So it all starts up front with the front four. If they can't manufacture that pressure with just those guys, then you got to now thinking about adding blitzes, adding linebackers, and you got to find pressure somehow. But that's what I'll be looking at for the defense.
They're not a young defense anymore. Now all of a sudden, you got a lot of guys that have reps, like Chandler Jones, Hightower, even a guy like Tavon Wilson. Now all of a sudden, you had a mix of a guy like Tommy Kelly.
Well, the thing I like the most about Tommy is length. And I think if you look at the strength of this group, what they've infused is longer people. You know, height, 6'6 guys with long arms. Mm-hmm. Chandler Jones' strength is length. Tommy Kelly's strength is collapsing the pocket. From the middle, you now have length. So there aren't as many alleys and lanes and ways to get rid of the ball. Michael Buchanan really built them in the same cloth, a guy with length. It's those kind of guys that you love to add to your roster. Not that Kyle Love and Brandon Dietrich weren't great players, but it's just a slightly different body type. You have more of those kinds of guys in the box now.
Can they still manufacture good coverage back there if they lose one of those key guys, if a McCourty or a Tlaib goes down?
I mean, I think they can, but it all ties back into that pressure. You know, if they're able to, and Zoe, you know, you've played the position. If you can get pressure up front, it's going to make the back end easier. So now these guys are not going to have to cover for that long. I don't care if you have Deion Sanders back there. If you don't get pressure sooner or later as a wide receiver or a tight end, you know, as a quarterback, somebody's going to come open. So if you lose a guy like Tlaib, then when you look at that front four and you look at that front seven, your pressure is really going to be, man, you're going to look at it under a microscope like we really need pressure now.
All right, guys, good job. Coming up next, we're going to take a look around the NFL and a good look at next week's opponent, next week's Thursday night opponent, the New York Jets in the Thursday night home opener, and how they continue to make the wrong type of decisions. That's all next on Patriots This Week. Back in just a moment.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. By Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new dumpster in a bag can take it on. And by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Kembrell Tompkins. The undrafted wide receiver from Cincinnati made the Patriots roster with a terrific training camp and preseason performance. The 6-foot, 195-pounder averaged more than 11 yards per catch in pulling in 15 balls for 166 yards. This week's Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studio. And guys, taking a look at the quarterbacks, the young guys from last year, guys like RG3, who has made a miraculous return from major knee surgery at 6 months, guys like Russell Wilson, you know, Andrew Luck, who've carried their teams, even Colin Kaepernick, who played, you know, the second half of the year, ends up getting his team to the Super Bowl. They end up losing it to the Ravens, but ultimately, do you see any of those guys making the next step forward or one of those guys taking a step back?
Well, I think the guy that takes a step forward, in my opinion, obviously, is Andrew Luck. He's the first round pick. But if you kind of go away from that, I say Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson is, for some reason, I just like his style. Like the
people
way
he keep saying that he's the one that's going to go backwards, but there's not one thing that has indicated that at the end of the year or through the offseason.
Yeah, it's just something about Russell Wilson. The way he plays the game, he's a guy that can make all the throws. He's a guy that knows how to get out of the pocket at times. You look at him, he's not always thinking run like Colin Kaepernick, so I think at times that might be something that hurts Kaepernick. RG3, that knee injury, I think he's going to miss a couple games just because Russell Wilson is the guy that I'm really looking for to have a big year.
And it seems like when you look at RG3 and what's taking place down there in D.C., it's the RG3 press conference of the week. You know, who cleared him, who's going to play, he's going to be cleared for week one. Seems like Shanahan is not running the show down there, and RG3 is. That's starting to annoy me a little bit.
Operation Patience.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know. It's gotten to the point where it seems a little bit childish, and you can control some of those communications.
Caddy.
It keeps showing up on Twitter. Get off Twitter. And I think, I mean, little things like that. He'll make a comment, and it shows his immaturity. He's a bright kid. He's the kind of guy you want in your team. He's the kind of guy you want leading your organization. But he's in a rough spot. Never had to go through a long rehab process like this before. He has with a knee, but not in the spotlight like he is now. So I don't think it's been managed entirely perfectly. I think another element to this, another layer, is when Dr. Andrews is making statements about when or where he's not going to be
available.
No,
he's on the darn sidelines.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's just something that I think from an organization like this, we understand sort of the value and just not having those kinds of distractions.
There's no chain of command there. You know, it's like quarterback, right. Head coach. It's like who's on top?
We don't know who's running the show, nor did we ever. And we always thought maybe it was Daniel Snyder.
I think it's also interesting that you can see a player of RG3's stature in this league still show some vulnerability. You still see that in him, that he's a little worried about his job. I mean, and it's you're brought up that way. You're always, you know, it's the NFL, not for long, you know, and he feels Kirk Cousins.
Rex Ryan makes a decision on cutdown day. Last Friday, you know, you got the roster's got to get down. By Saturday evening, I think it was 6 o'clock, you had to be down to 53. Yet Rex was in Clemson visiting with his son, who's a walk-on wide receiver there. Wiggy, did he do the right thing, even though he likes to say that the business was done, we knew what we were doing, this is one of the rare opportunities where I had a chance to go see my son, I'll never be able to do that. Was he in the right?
You got to wonder if Rex said, you know what, I'm a lame duck coach. You know, I'm basically coaching this year, and the likelihood of me being back next year is slim to none, so I'm going to go do what I want to do. But when you're the head coach, I think you have to have your priorities straight. And when you're the head coach of a National Football League football team, your priorities are your team.
I disagree. The reason I think this is with that particular market, and I was down there for several years. I know you were there for a little bit, too, or both you guys. You got to be careful which publications you read when you start building this narrative that there's dysfunction. I don't think there is. I really think if you're going
to
read that particular...
They want dysfunction.
If you're
going to
read that particular source, if you're going to read each article that begins with a source close to the team, they're digging things up.
All right, guys, we got to freeze it right there because we have the Jets next week. Week one opponent. We can't overlook them. The Buffalo Bills, we get into them next when Patriots This Week continues. When you face a brand new quarterback, especially a rookie quarterback in his first NFL start, you've got to think, okay, they've got to get his feet wet. And how do you do that? Screen game, a little bit of handoffs. And the most important thing when you face the Buffalo Bills, this guy, CJ Spiller, because I call him a home run guy. Watch him here against the Jets. Little handoff underneath, and this is the ability to step out of runs. Go ahead and run the tape. Right here, a little motion across the formation. You've got to be at home if you're Dante Hightower, Chandler Jones up at the other side. Squeeze everything down to the backside. Right there. Has that ability just to step out and hit that home run to daylight. Moving on to Kansas City. This is a little read option right there. Brings him to the left side. Cuts back to daylight. Dangerous cutback runner. You've got to stay at home. You can't over pursue. And this is nightmare scenario right here. Watch the screen game. Trips punch to the top. Slide him out the backside. Gets him one-on-one with the linebacker. Hat on a hat. That's a home run play. One thing you've got to do, and that's a nightmare scenario for any of the Patriots linebackers, no disrespect to them, is to be out on an island alone against number 28, CJ Spiller. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studio. It's Buffalo Week, meaning that's a good thing here in New England because, guys, since Y2K, going all the way back to 2000, Matt's rolling this up. We had no clue we're talking about that.
Y2K.
Y2K, the record, 23-3. 23 wins, 3 losses since the turn of the century. Buffalo is just a good matchup for this team. But it's a new-look Bills team. Doug Marrone is the new coach. Mm-hmm. E.J. Manuel is the new quarterback. They're trying to establish something new there. So is this a dangerous opponent for the Patriots here early in the season? Start with you, Wiggy.
Yeah, it's the same problem as the quarterback situation. When you look at the quarterback situation with Buffalo, it's always a new guy and who's going to be the quarterback. And now you look at E.J. Manuel. I think when you look at him as a quarterback, the one element that he does bring to the game is that he has the ability to get outside the pocket. But how much is he really going to do that coming off a knee injury? And to me, that's the biggest thing. They have, you know, good running back in C.J. Spiller, Fred Jackson. They have Stevie Johnson, who's a tremendous wide receiver. But it all starts with the
quarterback. Would you put Patrick Chung in nickel formation?
I think I would.
Talk about not knowing.
Yeah,
your
exactly.
I
mean,
no, go ahead, continue.
No, but when you look at the Buffalo Bills, it's all about the quarterback situation, and you got two guys that have no experience at the NFL level, and I think that's ultimately is going to be the biggest problem for them.
Week one, Belichick talks about the unknown. How does he get you ready for the unknown? Is it the in-game adjustments as the game progresses?
Yeah,
getting on that whiteboard.
I agree with Wiggy's point that it's probably not going to be as much move the pocket, and it's not going to be pistol and read option stuff. But remember, this team bookends the Patriots' schedule. They're on the front end, they're on the back end. So I wouldn't dismiss them for poor quarterback play, just unknown quarterback play. Could be bad, could be good. We really don't know. So it is that unknown element.
Last year, was it an anomaly when you look at a guy like Mario Williams? I mean, they backed up the Brinks truck. They went after the number one top free agent, signed Mario Williams, never let him leave the city when he visited there at the start of free agency. Had a disappointing year. Didn't really have the impact that we anticipated. Was that kind of a whiff there, or are we going to see something out of this guy?
No, I think we're going to see something out of this guy. He's a talented player, and I just don't think that you're going to see another year like we saw last year. I think he's going to get it together. He's a player that you can move around. He can do a lot of different things. Matt always talks about length. He's a guy that poses length and power. So Mario Williams, he's one guy that I feel like is going to have a big year.
See, I actually disagree that it was a bad year for him, but I think you're absolutely accurate to say it wasn't good against the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And I think we get a discolored view from that a little bit because he wasn't dominant. They handled him quite well. He still had 10.5 sacks. I think more of his dominant games came in games where we weren't watching him. But he was disappointing against the Patriots. And again, at the end of the day, that's kind of all that matters. So the important part, though, is Alex Carrington is the guy opposite him at the other defensive end. For Patriots fans out there, Mark Anderson, who went there on a big deal himself, was cut in the offseason. So as much as he needs to be a force, he needs to have a complementary piece. Sean Merriman was a trial that went through that didn't work. They've now brought in Manny Lawson at the outside, a former first-round pick who was in San Francisco. Jerry Hughes, a first-round pick from Indianapolis. They're bouncing around and trying other things. But I think you'll put less weight on him if you take pressure off of them by bringing it elsewhere.
But he has still guys like McKelvin, too, and, you know, Gilmore's out with the wrist, so they are still dealing with some injuries.
But Mario Williams has to be consistent. When you say 10.5 sacks, there was one game that he had like 4 sacks.
All right, guys, good stuff. Coming up next, our picks when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Welcome to another sensational season of the Fantasy Lowdown. I'm Brian Lowe. T.Y. is the guy for week one. Colts second-year wideout T.Y. Hilton is going to break out, and that will start at home Sunday against the Raiders. Running back Chris Johnson may go on to have a great season, but it won't start well, so you should sit the Titan against Pittsburgh. And a sleeper this week is Ben Tate. Arian Foster's backup will get plenty of chances against the Chargers and makes for a great flex play. The Fantasy Lowdown is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. It's time now for our picks. And this year, we want to do something just a little bit different. We want to pick a single player on the Patriots team that will, I don't want to say live above expectations, but go above and beyond expectations in this football game. Score and give me that player, Matt Chatham.
I think it's going to be a tough game. It's always tough to go to Buffalo, but I'm going to go with the Patriots 27-21. And the guy I'm going to be watching, and we watched him all preseason, was Chandler Jones. Want to watch him make that jump, that leap from year one to year two. He's in an interesting role. We've seen him in a 5 technique. We've seen him outside, all up and down that line. He's going to make a difference. Batted balls, sacks. He just needs to play the screen play a little bit better. But Chandler Jones, where my eyes are going to be.
Wiggy, who you got?
Well, I like the Patriots 31-17. They're always scoring plus 30. And the guy that I'm looking at is on the opposite side of Chandler Jones, Rob Ninkovich. I think this guy is way underrated. He's a talented player, and I'm going to keep my eyes on him.
I'm going to take the Patriots also in this game. No shocker there. 34-13, 21-point win. My player, Stephen Ridley. He's going to pop because of the tempo game. Tom Brady's going to be able to audible to a lot of nickel runs, a lot of runs in this game, a lot of yards. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. Hope you can join us each and every week at the same time. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. See you next time on Patriots This Week.